this reading this morning is from Luke 1:78-79. Hopefully this means. Okay, very good. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which this rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Second reading. Our second reading is from Romans 12:1-3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Our third reading today is from Mark, chapter 14, verse 1. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the Leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head.
Thank you, Tanya. I would now like to invite Sue to come up. And Tanya, are you going to do a little intro for us? No? Okay. Well, you can have my one, which might be a little bit cobbled together on the, you know, perhaps be better. And Andrew's going to, and Tanya's going to close this one.
Thank you. Okay. Now, Sue's involved, and I'm sure she'll explain this to us better than I will, but involved with a group called New Foundations. And so, in my capacity on the board at Papakura and Camellia, we've had a bit of interaction with Sue, picking up some of the kids that are falling through the cracks. And so, Sue's doing a wonderful job. So, look, I'm not going to say much more, because she'll fill in all the bits and pieces. And so, we're just going to pray for now. So, just Father, we are so grateful and blessed to have Sue with us this morning. And Father, I just really thank you for your heart of compassion and care and love for the difficulties that she's dealing with. And Father, that's your heart. Father, your heart is for the lost and the Lord, those who are just failing and Lord, who need you. And so God, thank you for the work that she is doing and I thank you for her time today to come and talk to us about what's on her heart, Lord. So just pray for Sue. We thank you for the message she's prepared and pray you just strike our hearts with it too in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning all. Now my first thing to do this morning is that one of the elders knows from my pastor, she with me, and I needed to pass on our greetings from my pastor to you guys. And bless you guys, thank you. And thank you for praying for it for church today. It's a real blessing. When God's we're all together, and that's awesome. So, New Foundations Trust. We are a registered trust. We've been going for just over 13 years now. I'm the founder, and I'm going to explain to you a bit of background and everything. So, I was a school captain at James Cook High School. And I spent my time as a captain the first 18 months or so walking around the school grounds during class time and talking to all the students who weren't going to class. There was many. And, what I found out was that these young people were broken.
they had no hope. They did not believe that they could possibly have a future that was going to be positive, that they'd ever be able to have any dreams. They believed that they would just carry on the pathway of their parents and their grandparents, that they would end up in the gangs, that they would end up in prison, unemployed. That was their mindset. That was, and they were empty, they were like they had nothing in there. And they were too scared to look at anything. So I'm a practical person. And I said to God, how can I help these kids? And at the same time as I was being the captain at John's Cup, that's a volunteer thing, you're only allowed me from your eyes awake, I was also working for an outfit called Own High, which is the consortium for alternative education. And it was my role as a transition tutor to get kids who had fallen out of school and they'd gone into an alternative education centre. And it was my role to get them back into education, into mainstream education, even to youth training and into high school. And I found by the time that those kids had gone through falling out of school and back into that flat and thrown at the centre, they were damaged in school, but by the time they got to the centre, they were so badly damaged. They had lost everything. And they had lost any belief that education was ever for them. And that. So it was very hard to get them to believe and go forward. And they were left at the bottom of the cliff. And I thought that God was going to need to work with them in school to stop them falling down. See the fence at the top of the cliff. So I prayed and I spent time with the Lord. And I thought God would give me a picture. And it was a picture of a bridge. And I thought the Lord said to me, you teach them of how to build a bridge with inside themselves to get over those dark times and see how to go forward. Next slide, please. So I designed a structured mentoring program. Now, I have my background in education, apart from homeschooling three of our five kids. But I spent time in God's Word, I took God's principles, and I put them into this program. Because in school, you're not allowed to believe scripture, so we can be cunning. So, I designed this program called the Bridge Program. It's about the young person learning to build up, just keep pushing the button so you keep coming up. It's about helping the young person build up their self-esteem. It's about them learning how to build confidence, that when they feel better about themselves, that they can learn to trust themselves to try something. And if it doesn't work out how they expect it to work out, it's okay, and they have that confidence to have another go at it. We work at building up their motivation, because if you've got no motivation, you're not going to go anywhere. And we help them understand how boundaries actually keep them safe, and that they actually feel safe and it enables them to go forward. So we taught them basically to see who God had created them to be. We got them to see the lies that they believed in and how to remove those lies to see the truth of who God had made them. So our purpose is just to enable them to see the truth of who they really are. The new foundation they are building within themselves is based on truth. And we base it on God's truth. How we do this? Through the teaching and the mentoring program, we can help them discover who God has created them to be. And what we find with these broken young people is that they are hungry to know. They are crying out for somebody to show them that they are worth something, that they are valuable, and that they can dare to dream, and that they do have a future. Now I'm going to tell you a story of a young man who we had.
I had a message to me, he had just been excluded from an intermediate school. He was a year 8 student. He had been excluded for violent behaviour, attacking another student, and it was not a single incident. He was known for that. I first met him at his home. I go and visit the young person and the family, and I get to know them, listen to their story, what happened in the past. And this young man, I found out, had already had a Ministry of Education psychologist assigned to him, who had done some assessments on him. And their recommendation to me was that he was not capable of going back into mainstream school. That his level of anxiety was so high that if he felt unsafe or threatened, he would lash out and attack somebody again. And that cognitively, he would mostly only be able to offer it as a 7-year-old. And this kid was just going on to 12 years old. And so I worked with the Ministry of Education and was able to get their permission for the family to homeschool him. And part of the agreement for the homeschooling is only to be for a period of time for us to rebuild this kid up. And the rest of the part of the agreement was that one of our New Foundation's trust mentors had to be assigned to this child who would go and visit him every week at home. And so I found this wonderful gentleman, Mo. And he's a dad, and he used to be a truck driver, had an accident, and now he's with New Foundation's trust. He can't drive trucks anymore. And he worked with this young man, and he built up trust with him, he built up trust with the family, and worked on this young man, seeing who he really was and helping work through the anger issues and anxiety issues and that. And so he'd quite often take him out during the day and took him to the local church. So Mary goes to the local church, just up the road from the family lived in it. Parents were happy for him to take him up there and that, and we get him to be help out in the fruit kitchen, and we would try and encourage our kiddies to do a bit of community service and that. And then he managed to come to a point where he'd built enough trust with the parents to say to him, look, my two girls go to the youth group at the church, would it be okay if I took your son along? And they gave permission. So he started taking the young man to church, the youth group, and that's his social one. And he'd been excluded for a month. By the end of 2023, we saw so much growth in this young man, and so much change, that we believed he was capable to go back into school, and we really wanted him to finish the term of intermediate to prepare him for high school the next year. So we got him enrolled in our school that was willing to take him. And so he had the whole of term 4 at his school. And at the end of the year, prize given, he got prize for most improved student. And so we were very proud of him. So God worked on him. And he helped him overcome who he was, and what he believed he was. But there's even more to it. It says when he gets your hands on it, he can do some incredible things. Can you show the video, please? This is a video of Tyler at youth group. Here I am there to help disadvantaged youth build resilience and gain a positive attitude towards school and education, enabling to improve academic performance gaining a positive self-identity and becoming productive members of the community. That's what we're all meant to be, productive members of our community. And we believe that education is a key. And, you know, God enables us to learn. We're always learning, no matter how old we are. God wants us to learn, doesn't he? So we believe that, as a trust, we believe it's really important. Our long-term objective is to break the intergenerational poverty of low educational achievement, leading to a lack of career expectations and low self-esteem. And we cover Manuel, Papua, and the Franklin area. We're in all the largest high schools. We're actually now in 28 schools throughout the area. And we are working it because we believe God wants to transform these communities. We work very hard at building stronger connections with the community, connections across to resources, increasing unity between schools, whānau, and support groups in the community. We're really about trying to connect people with people who care. And that. So I'm going to tell you about a wonderful lady. We'll play her in a minute. Her name is Monique. Monique is a local Papakura lady here. So what I did when I started the trust and it started to grow, what I saw from God was that I was to go and find local churches, build relationships with them, and through that, I've had these wonderful Christian people come and be part of the trust, and they are the mentors. So all my guys in Manurewa, all local Manurewa guys ministering in their own community. All my guys here in Papakura are local Papakura people ministering into their community. And this is one is Monique. She's my area manager here, my lead mentor here. And that, she's a mum of five girls. And that, and she's going to tell you her story. The norm for their expectations that they would touch areas that were over the region generational focus and not to suffer. And I knew that this was the right organisation because we work with relationship, and relationship is where you build trust, and trust is where you really make an impact. A few other stories that really have inspired me to keep going. Where of a girl who in year 11 hadn't been coming to school. She had probably about 30% attendance rate. And when she came up to the house, her mum said, I mean, if she didn't stop, she can't come to school anymore. I pushed a little bit further and we came down to the point that if she doesn't stop, she would answer. She didn't have any friends at school, so she wasn't going to come to school. But she was really clever and really wanted to be a lawyer. Through the time that I spent here, we were only had about 2 weeks before the year was up. But by doing the internship, helping her to work through the teaching well and what she wanted to do, we were able to see that we could have arranged. And that just inspired her to keep going. That I found that to be something of interest. I knew that somehow I had been able to use what I've been given. Here are stories. I heard a young man that I've been working with for about 2.5 years now. He's been with his company with many different issues. He's definitely got mental health issues. And so these ups and downs are always in there. But the relationship that we have, he just trusts me with everything. So when there's an issue at home, I get called. And I can work with the respect of the things that we've already discussed, and it's just things that we're right down. And I know that
new foundations could definitely for young people. So when we go into classes, when we could run around, we know that what we're here for is just for the young people.
Okay. Not long, about a year ago, when after I started the test, I said to God one day, God, what does it really look like to be in the harvest? And God speaks to me in pictures. I have dreams of pictures. And in the morning, I wake up and the room is very vivid, and I sketch what I've seen. And when I go and spend time actually making the picture, and I'm very much into, I don't paint as normal painters, I use pastel palette and such things. I'm very much a 3D person. And anyway, this is the picture God gave me about being in the harvest. And at the top, we have the sun. Now, colours speak to me, you know. I've did it purple because it's about Jesus, it's about his loyalty, it's about his kingship. He's the king on that. But as you know, the sun is massive on that. And I think of it as a real revelation to me that when I look and I thought, Lord, you are so big. And I thought, and then God said, you think about the natural sun. We have a sun that keeps us warm, enables us to live, right? And it's massive. It's so many billions of miles away. But our God is even bigger than that sun. Our God is so God and so powerful, he was able to create that sun. And that gives me a lot of courage and belief that if God asked me to do something, well, if he's able to create the sun, that can warm our whole earth, you know, how much more can do that? He's more than capable than that. And we need that when we're out in the harvest field. We need to know how mighty and powerful God is. Because it's his work, it's him at work doing that. So I look at that and it reminds me that the Lord is with us. He is the one that gives us the light to enable us to know and see where he's calling us to go. He's the one that gives us the insight and inspiration of how to outwork things. It reminds me also that the fact is that his yoke is easy. And when we're out there, sometimes it looks become like it's a heavy burden, but it's going back to the Lord and reminding us that in fact he's carrying the heavy burden for us, and we're merely walking this journey with him and that. I see him and remind me of this, and I look at this and remind me that, yes, Lord, you're with us out there in the harvest field. That he is our fortress that we can run into when we hit those hard places and when we're serving God out there. That we're able to run into him, and he will bring his peace and his kindness to us so that we can then carry on and do what he's asking us to do. So that to me speaks about that he is in the harvest. He is there, he is overseeing it, and it's his life that breaks through the darkness in the people that he brings to us to enable them to see the truth. We then have a vessel sitting on an altar there. The vessel symbolises us, we're merely his vessels. And I thought the Lord saying that our place, when we're in the harvest field, is actually to be on the altar. That we're just to be there, as God's vessel. He works for us. He enables us to understand. When you think of Romans 12, it talks about how our mind needs to be transformed into God's image, to understand how God operates. And I've found over the years how he operates and us men, how we operate is very different. with more mentors than all of us. We've learnt what it's actually walking into humility and serving the people of where they are at, is what God calls us to do. Just to be there for them. Just to be there. And God just pulls all of us and into them and gives them hope. He has an incredible way of using who we are as his living sacrifice to serve others. I've come across so many parents who we just go there and we listen to them and we find out what their needs are and we practically meet their needs and just be there. And they're so grateful, and so many times I've had people say to me, are you a Christian? Because they sense something. It's not me, but they sense God. And you're able to, he opens those doors for you to be able to hear his love for them. Being that on that altar, and being out here at Harvest Hill, there are times when we are broken, and we need to be broken. As God's people, I believe we need to be broken. It's like that reading in Mark 14, verse 3, where the woman had to break the jar to release the beautiful perfume and oil within it. And there are times in our life where God allows us to go through things that breaks us. And through going through those times, he pulls out of us his beautiful anointing oil into others. And Manika, you've just seen in that video, she's gone from her things. A couple of years ago, she's got 5 girls. She was done at school. About the school when we were one of the girls was going up and said, oh look, your daughter's not doing well, we're going to take her to a local AME, can you meet her there? So my next friend then said, oh see, look, I've just been running from the school, we were meant to be meeting, and she said, oh look, I've just been running, one of my daughters isn't well, I'll go see how she is and I'll keep you updated and maybe we can catch up later in the day. She said, look fine, you keep me updated. Yeah. So she went there and she texted me and said, their phone's just got to go to the hospital, they're putting in an ambulance now and they're taking her to Middlemore straight away. And then she texted me a little bit later and she said, they've had to put her on life support. And by 5 o'clock that night, she had passed. She had not had any previous medical sickness or anything like that. Her heart stopped and they were just not able to start one part of her heart. And I said to Monique, you take as long as you need. You go for your daughter, you go forward. 2 weeks after it happened, she took me and said, so, I believe I'm meant to be serving now. God called me to serve me. I've got some kiddies I need to go and see. I'm going to see them. I'm okay. I said, well, you do that, you just let me know, you know. So she went home and she carried on, and she was actually at that time working at Typical Intermediate. And she and the school knew what had happened. I think a lot of people in the community knew what had happened. The school that she was all connected and were aware of what had happened. And she went back in there and she did what God was calling her to do, be there for the kiddies and that. And about a month or so later, she got called into the principal's office. And the principal said to her, do you have somebody in your church that might like to come and start a Christian group at lunchtime in this school? And then she said, do you think that your pastor might like to come every so often and do a devotion for us in our assembly? God used what she was going through to open doors. God's very good at doing that. And it's through that God pours through us when we're broken his hope, his love, and his faith for others.
Now this son is a gentleman, his name is Simeon. He's the tall dude in the middle of all those guys around him. And Simeon's my senior mentor in Mindura, and he's going to tell you his story.
As I said before, I am born and raised in Manawarra. I've been here for 39 years, and so I've seen a lot of change happen in Manawarra. But I'll tell you my story about how I got connected with New Foundation stuff. You see, I was studying a Doctor of Sports Management at UNICEF, and so I had these big dreams and aspirations of becoming some CEO for some sport organization. But then at the end of my third year, just before I graduated, I had a conversation with Steve Higgins, who was the general manager of New Foundation. And so we all sat over lunch at McDonald's, and he convinced me to come on board. So you got to understand that the pay wasn't really there, and I had just graduated, and I had some, again, big ambitions to earn a lot of money, but something in my heart just was kind of leaning or being pulled in that direction around mentoring. And so I started out that year after I graduated with New Foundation Trust, and from the moment I started, I knew I was home. I knew I was to stay with this trust and to offer my skills, my experiences. And so I've had a number of years working for New Foundation Trust, and just the lives that we've been able to touch, the stories that we've heard from young people who today, some of them have actually are fathers, some of them are business owners, some of them are in the market, so I know I've been great things. And so I've been with New Foundation for almost 8 years. And so, you know, I've just had this great opportunity to work with young men in our community. Because my background, whether I come from a broken home, I knew what it was like to be without a father, to be absent, constantly working. And so I actually learned things on the fly as I was growing up as a teenager. And so that kind of meant that I was kind of drawn into the world of drugs and alcohol and gang life, and I was making some really poor choices. But little did I know that these experiences that I was going to have as a teenager were going to really pay off later in life. And so I come into New Foundation stuff with that wealth of experience, being able to help young men overcome their whole poverty mindset, to overcome fear, to overcome addiction that they may be facing in their life. And again, just some of the stories I've been able to get to listen to, but also to be a part of seeing young men just take those things off. And I remember one story I had a group of young students from a school in Grandma here, intermediate. And it was a group of young men that I was able to take away to play on it. And we just had some great times there, just really connecting, but also just discovering who we are as young men. And so we were able to build some deep connections with these young boys who were first part of our bridge program, but then became part of the group of boys that I was able to take away to play on it. And really just do life together. And so right now, they're with us. They're almost graduating high school, and they're making really good choices as they're moving on towards the big world work. And so it's just been a real privilege to be a part of these young men's lives and just being able to see some of the amazing changes that they've been making. I mean, they've come from a lifestyle of drugs, of alcohol, of peer pressure, of social pressure, to now being confident, motivated learners. I'd like to be able to actually go out to the workforce and make some really good choices. And so for me, that's one of the major reasons why I work for NFC New Foundation. It's just been a real joy. And again, it gives me purpose, it gives me meaning. I must say that over the years, there's been plenty of opportunities for me to go out to, but again, my heart is so invested in New Foundation. It's a place where I call home. And today, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to work with many schools in that area, in many areas. and to New York high schools, primary schools, and just to know the impact young people's lives. You know, over time, you know, things change, culture changes, but, you know, the problems are still the same. And so I've been able to use my experience, the life lessons that I've learned to be able to impart into these young people's lives. And so that is why I work for New Foundations. It's not just a job for me, it's perfect for me. And so I would love to continue doing what I do, and again, I thank you for partnering with us, because you enable us to go to the community to do what we need to do, and then we are to disrupt this cycle of poverty of a young man's life. So thank you again for partnering with us.
Well, guys, you were talking about that group, so they all become Christians through that, and they're regularly inviting your fellow students to your space and work. Next slide, please. So my heart. This is not a job. When I meet people who are interested in becoming mentors or something, this is not a job. I am not a senior adult. This is a ministry. It's a ministry to your own community, to the broken youth in our community, who are so hurt and so angry and so imprisoned by the lives that they live in. They need to know the truth of who they are, and they need to experience kindness, love and care. So many people say, so many of us say, and I said it at the beginning when God put this on my heart, it was, who me? No, I'm too inadequate. I couldn't do this. And it amazes me how God seems to place us in places where we feel our weaknesses coming up. In the places where we don't feel we're actually capable of doing it. Or not. For me, when I started the trust, was a huge step for me, and I even still now I struggle. When I was 9 years old, I went to convict school, and my mother was called into Mother Superior's office with me here, and Mother Superior said to my mum, she said, your daughter needs to go into care because she's retarded. At the age of 9, I could still not write or read my own name. My mum was the same, put me out of the school and put me into a private school. And it was recognised that I had a learning disability, but in those days, it was a really long time ago, learning disabilities weren't understood. And it was after I left school and in my late 20s that I got the diagnosis of being dyslexic. And so words are not my friend. And I feel very uncomfortable all the time trying to do things with words, and yet God enabled me to develop and design all the resources for the trust. I've designed all the teaching programs and everything. I run the admin part. I still get my husband to keep all my letters. It's very good. But you know, it's amazing. All the adventures is his own heart. And who does the rest? So we are a trust. We do not have any direct government funding for our mentoring program. We don't fit within the criteria for Ministry of Social Development or Ministry of Education. We sit in no man's land. So we do need financial support. I am not towards helping the mentors and that. We also need the demand for is growing in the schools. We're very aware that the preparatory schools are under a lot of pressure. The numbers are very high in schools. The average class size in an intermediate and preparatory is over 35 students. The percentage of primary students within those schools is more than double what you would get in most other areas.
And we are getting, particularly in Porto Kore, there's a lot more emergency housing, a lot more families coming in with a high need down there. So we have found a real increase of need, particularly in the intermediate age and Porto Kore area. So we're looking for people who maybe be willing to train as a mentor. Now we have a huge range of people, okay? I have some people, like senior Monique, that they've been able to get them from only been able to be a couple of hours a week, they're now almost full time with us doing that. Senior Stuart, they cover one day, we cover 4 days. So he's in this community 4 days a week serving the community doing that. But we have a lot of other people. I have people who, older people, retired people, who give 4 hours a week. And we only run our program in school during school time. So they do one program a week. So we do group programs where we have two or three mentors there. So we have a lead mentor who does the teaching, and the other mentors are there to sit with the kiddies, encourage them, support them, show them care, and that sort of thing. We have interns, young people who are not long out of school, who feel God's calling them to give them to aside a year or 2 years before they carry on. And they come into the trust, and we provide a registered workplace provider. So we NZQA certificate for level 2 and level 3 youth workers papers. So I have a qualified teacher who supports them, because a lot of these young people come out of school, have no qualifications, but they want to serve God. So we help them get a qualification, and we provide them with the educational support, and then they outwork the practical part of the program through helping them program on that. And we see so much growth from these young people, and it's so great with us, the younger guys. So we have mums who are at school during the day and they come and help do a program. So we have a wide variety of people who are in that. Also prayers. We have a group of intercessors, and we'd like to build that space of intercessors. That's once a month I send out an email with prayer requests, so we give a snapshot of a student and the family that we're working with, and we ask them to put some prayer for these families. We really sort of ramped up the prayer about 18 months ago and started finding more people to be intercessors for. And at the beginning of this year, I had our family, I was working with a girl who, young lady, who was only intermediate, she'd been excluded. I met her mum, I knew her mum because I'd worked with an older brother and that. And the only time I've ever been involved with this family for many, many years. And mum would never engage. She would never accept any help or anything, and there was real need in the family. So I put her and her daughter on the pier for people to pray for them. About 4 weeks later, I got a ring from our older family. She was saying, something's happened to mum. She wants help now. She's actually admitted that she's got a drug and alcohol issue, and that she wants to go into residential rehab. So mum's actually in rehab at the moment. I got an email this week from our own committee to say that mum has started the outside part of the residential scheme now. She's joined a church that has a rehab component to it, and that's the power of prayer. So we're looking for support people. We've also, this year, have stepped out in faith. I didn't have funding for it. It's the start of centre. A little school, okay? Just for year 7 and 8, so that's your 10, 11, 12 year old. Because in the Papakura, Tekamini area, is the highest area of excluded intermediate students. So for them to be excluded out of school means they have significant behavioural issues. So I started a centre where the schools refer the student to us prior to them being excluded. And that instead of them being excluded, they come to our centre. But we have activate sets allowing us to use their facilities. I have a qualified teacher there
and we have people that come in, and actually only take 10 students at a time, and they're there for 10 weeks, and then we transition them back into school. We then deal with the issues that are causing them to struggle and that. And so we are looking for people who may have 2.5 hours a week, maybe like to come in and do it. We run the centre from Monday to Thursday. We have two blocks. We have 9 till 11:30, and then we have 11:30 to 2. So we're looking for people who might like to just come and sit with some kids around that. You wouldn't be expected to run a teacher program or anything like that. We've got a teacher there who develops the program. Most of it's very practical, hands-on things, but really need to be people who want to just come and sit with that one person and maybe do something practical with them and just encourage them as they're trying to do some of the work and that. So, have you all asked for the service finishes? If you've got any questions, please come and ask me. I have business card, I've got my cards here, so if you feel like maybe God might be tugging your heart or something, please come and grab a card. I'd love to meet with other people that come in and for a cup of tea quite weekly or meet in a cafe and have a coffee if you want to talk or anything like that. But thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Kind of rude, isn't it?